Aaron.
This is Paul.
And this is Wayne.
Well, good morning, guys. It's nice to have you back, Wayne. It's been Paul and I for what seems like forever.
God, it feels like forever every time we're on the mics.
I know.
That's because the world sucks.
Well, you know, Paul and I are just an old married couple, and, you know, we really need our children around us to, fully complete our lives. So
the spark is gone in our relationship, really. The light has left my eyes.
That's right. That's right. The sex is all routine.
Yeah, I just stare off in the distance and think about Chris Hemsworth.
No, I mean, you sleep in separate bedrooms across the country.
Exactly. I was wondering who was going to go sex first. Of course it was Aaron. Well, since we last spoke, we recorded on Thursday last week because I was out of town for the weekend. With my whore Kyle. We recorded before the Disney D23 conference convention that happened last weekend. If you're not familiar with D23, it is like the biggest Disney convention in the world. It's actually pretty spectacular. I went a few years back. It is run by Disney, so it is not one of those conventions where you go and there's a whole bunch of like mom and pop vendors selling shit out of their basement. It is literally like Disney has a giant Marvel booth, a giant Star Wars booth, a Hulu booth. Like, it's mostly run by Disney. There's only a very small contingent of Disney-approved vendors selling their wares at the show. It's very interesting that way. It is literally a Disney expo. So they had a couple of major things happen over the weekend, and I'm going to kind of go in reverse because on Saturday they had their Disney Parks panel, which is like, here's all the upcoming stuff that's coming to our parks. And some pretty big unexpected news. Some of it was expected, some of it was unexpected. Apparently they are building a new Indiana Jones ride and area of a park in Florida. Dave Filoni was there to announce that The Mandalorian is going to be featured in one of their rides, The Mandalorian and Grogu, in anticipation of the upcoming movie in 2026. But the big news is they announced that they're in California. Disney has an area of the park called Avengers Campus. And right now it has a Guardians of the Galaxy ride. It has a Spider-Man ride. And they promised years ago that there would be an Avengers ride. And so they featured more information about the Avengers ride, which will apparently be a travel through the multiverse to stop King Thanos. So there's an iteration of Thanos who's like a king, and you have to like travel through time to stop him. And that's it. It all seems very cool and big and major. And it looks like they'll certainly get some cast members back, including Josh Brolin. But the big news announced that in addition to that is that they would also have a ride called, I think, the Stark Flight Test or something like that. I don't know, some type of like mechanical arm crazy ride type thing. And it was announced that Robert Downey Jr. would be reprising his role as Tony Stark for the ride. And I'm like,
interesting.
How much money did they just throw at Robert Downey Jr. this summer to get him to both reprise his role as Tony Stark and to play freaking Doctor Doom?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, well, and I mean, at what point does money just stop meaning anything? You know, I mean, like, when you are already richer than God because of all the Marvel money you've made, at what point does it just, you know, it's just more lettuce, right? I mean, yeah. At what point does it stop being meaningful? I don't know.
I actually wonder.
I would like to find out, Aaron. I'll test that.
Yeah, I actually wonder at this point if it's even about the money for him. I think it's the adulation because
none of the
roles he's played since then give him that level of fan obsession.
No. I mean, Sherlock worked well for him, but they can't get that third movie going. So it is really like...
Well, and he still gets to do his indie stuff and the stuff that he gets nominated for, that's awards candy. So he has plenty of time and resources to do all that stuff. I think you're right. I don't want to call it ego, but I think that it's got to be, you know, sort of basking in the love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Marvel is so culturally relevant there's got to be some, it's got to be exciting to be, to have your foot back in it in a different capacity.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think,
but a ride, think, you know, that's, I mean, don't get me wrong. Disney has enough money. They get these people to do the rides, oh, but sure.
Yeah,
that's, I mean, Robert Downey Jr.
Well, it's not like you're going to spend 8 months on set doing that, right? I mean, that's probably a small amount of time to invest in doing the ride.
Yeah.
You know?
Fair point. Yeah, I'm sure he films it in an afternoon.
Right.
And gets $5 million for it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I have no intention of going to California or anything, but I would love to see Rodgers the Musical live. Oh, and that
same.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that they kind of opened that Marvel area with, was the Rodgers the Musical show.
I honestly really enjoy Avengers Campus. The Spider-Man ride, I went a few years back, and the Spider-Man ride's pretty weak. But I really like the Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm very excited about Avengers and this, you know, Iron Man ride. I mean, it's obviously we've got Marvel on both the East Coast and the West Coast, but east of the Mississippi, Universal Studios has the rights. West of the Mississippi, Disney has the rights to do Marvel in theme parks. So it's very different iterations of Marvel. But you guys know I love theme parks. So I'm excited. I will definitely be in attendance at some point.
So your trip to Florida, was that Halloween Horror Nights?
It was a Halloween Horror Nights preview. So, you know, Halloween Horror Nights actually begins at the end of this month. But they were offering behind-the-scenes tours a few weeks early. And so I was able to get a cheap hotel, cheap direct flight from Southwest, and just have a
quick weekend trip. And a cheap partner to go with.
And a cheap partner to go with.
We love you, Kyle. We love you, Kyle.
Aaron doesn't love you, Kyle. I just went for a quick trip. Oh, I did not tell you guys what I did down there. Before we get into the Disney movie news and TV news, I had Marvel character dining while I was down in Orlando.
I don't know what this is. You'll have to
describe. I don't either.
So there's a Marvel, I think it's called Marvel Superhero Island, right? And so Marvel Superhero Island at Universal Studios, they've got like a Hulk roller coaster, a Storm ride, a Spider-Man ride, and a Doctor Doom drop tower, which is one of my favorite rides ever. All themed up with beautiful comic book art all over the place. They have a Captain America cafe, and they also have a Fantastic Four-themed cafe with a Fantastic Car in front of it. And in the Fantastic Four cafe, on select nights, they have Marvel character dining, which is, it's a buffet style, all-you-can-eat buffet style. And while you're sitting there and eating, Marvel characters will come up and have conversations with you, take pictures with you, that kind of thing. So in the dinner that I went to, it was Spider-Man, Captain America, Storm, Cyclops, Rogue, and Wolverine. And I got to tell you, on top of it just being cool, like, you know, it's just fun. The lady who plays Rogue knows her shit. She started talking about Onslaught and how the universe changed and blah, blah, blah during our conversation. I didn't bring it up. She brought it up. And I'm like, whoa, okay. Some deep cuts here from because Kyle, you know, Aaron's friend Kyle, he likes to throw the characters off. I don't know for some reason why. So he's like, how are things going with Miss Marvel? And without a beat, Rogue goes, yeah, you know, we had a rocky start, but we've since really reconciled and blah, 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 and starts going over the comic book history. I'm like, whoa, okay, she did her research. That's pretty slick. Very impressive. Very impressive, Rogue.
Rocky starts stealing her identity and powers.
Yes, exactly. But it was, honestly, it was very cool. You know, taking pictures with the characters and, you know, the comic books, the costumes are like comic booky, not based on the movies.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's
more based on the comic. That's always my preference. I prefer the comic costumes to the movie costumes. Yeah.
So it was fun. It was a fun experience. You know, Disney has that kind of stuff, you know, where you can have dinner with Winnie the Pooh and stuff like that. But, you know, those characters are giant costumes and they don't talk to you. These are actual interactions. So I really loved it. And it was a really good deal. And, you know, the food is theme park food. You're not going to like leave saying, oh, shit, that food was great. But the experience was a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So Disney D23. So that, you know, it is Disney really did most of their big announcements during San Diego Comic Con, right? Sure. It's really hard to follow that up. I mean, really, you know, the couple of things they did is they had some extra footage from Brave New World, talked a little bit about Fantastic Four. They announced that Ironheart, the TV series, is still on its way.
Apparently the villain is the Hood.
Yeah, the villain is the Hood, played by Anthony Ramos. And that I think they said that's coming later this year or maybe next year. I think it might be later this year. And then they had the first trailer, which has not been released officially, but if you look hard enough, you can find it anyway, of Daredevil Born Again, which features the return of all the cast, including the Punisher, and looks fantastic. Looks spot on a continuation of the Netflix series, which is what it was not intended to be originally. But I think, you know, they pivoted at some point and brought in the whole cast back together, really focused on making it continue the feel of the Netflix series. So I'm pretty excited about that.
You know, I have to say, with all the Fantastic Four talk, I am so in the mood for a good Fantastic Four story that it's disappointing that I didn't care for the current run of the book, because between all of the talk about the movie, seeing one of the cameos in Deadpool and Wolverine, and then even having Galactus in a book this week, I just am really jonesing for good Fantastic Four.
Well, you can always rewatch that Jessica Alba movie. I don't hate the Jessica Alba movie.
Oh, I do.
Do you really?
Yeah, I can't stand any of those Fantastic Four movies. They're all terrible.
Even the Roger Corman one? I mean, I feel like that one was good.
I have seen scenes from that movie. I have not actually seen that.
Whoa, Aaron, you've never seen the Roger Corman Fantastic Four?
No, never
have. Wow.
That's a must-see.
I mean, special effects so good that, you know,
that it was never released publicly.
Yeah, who needs CGI for Reed Richards when you can have a broom?
Yeah. Oh, man, yeah, between you should just have a trilogy of Fantastic Four, the 90s Fantastic Four, America, and Punisher all in one day.
Gonna pass, thank you.
Oh, that sounds great. I think I'll do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing I really give the early Fantastic Four movies, like, I think Chris Evans was a really good Johnny Storm.
I don't disagree. Yeah. I don't disagree at all.
I think he really did a great job in the role.
And what's his face? Michael Chiklis. Honestly, I don't think it was so much of the issue.
I think Chiklis was a good choice for Ben Grimm. I think that, oh gosh, I forget the actor's name who plays Reed Richards, was terrible casting. He's too young. Reed Richards should be a whole generation older than Sue Storm.
That's problematic in today's times, Aaron.
Well, I mean, you know, that's who the character is. And
he's a groomer.
Well, you know, if you one of those retelling of the Fantastic Four origin stories really had it set up that way, because he is boarding in the same house that Sue Storm lives in, and you're like, okay, this is creepy, 20-year-old man into a 15-year-old girl, and this is creepy. The actor who plays Reed Richards also played in an A&E television series back in the day. It was during the Napoleonic Wars. Forget the book series that it's based on. But, you know, he plays a sailor, and he was great in that. And I like that actor. He was just a terrible choice.
Yeah, I think it's Ian Gruffudd, yes, Gruffudd, yes, something like that. Yeah, he was also in the recent Bad Boys movie, mm-hmm. just in case.
I like the actor. He was just a bad choice for Reed Richards. He was too young at the time.
Yeah.
I think Pedro Pascal is age appropriate.
I think he's age appropriate. I think I'm a little annoyed that he's unwilling to shave his mustache. It's just a different interpretation.
Yeah, it is a different interpretation, and I don't understand why they went with someone who's going to dig their heels in about something so silly as his mustache.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
At least they're not planning on CGing it out.
They're just going to make up over it like the Joker.
Yeah, exactly. A little Cesar Romero action.
That's right. That's right.
Well, you know, since we're talking about Marvel, we could probably start with the Marvel comics this week. There was a a surprise release. I did not know this was coming. I saw it, you know, looking at Comixology's books, Ultraman X Avengers.
Yeah, issue one. I don't think I knew about this. This caught me by surprise as well on New Comic Book Day.
Yeah, written by Kyle Higgins. I thought it was just going to be a out of continuity, not connected to either of the books coming mm-hmm. out. I was pleasantly surprised that it is based on the Ultraman series that we read recently.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's basically the Avenger, because of Galactus, some of the Avengers have been pulled into the Ultraman universe, starting with Miles Morales, Spider-Man, who's not a vampire in this book.
Yeah, I was disappointed that he wasn't a vampire in this book. That would have been nice synchronization, right?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Wayne, Aaron read Blood Hunt.
Wow. It was good, wasn't it, Aaron?
You know, I said last time, I refuse to talk about this anymore.
He liked it. Other than that, you know, we also have Iron Man, Falcon, Cap, Captain Marvel, Spider-Man and the Wasp, Peter Parker, Spider-Man and the Wasp, teaming up with Ultraman. And I genuinely, now, first of all, it's Kyle Higgins, who I like quite a bit. I haven't read much of his stuff in recent times. I think I know he's written a lot of Power Rangers and Power Rangers type books over the recent years. I really enjoyed his work for DC Comics prior to that. But I really liked this book. I thought it was well written. I liked the characters, interactions and that kind of stuff.
I liked the Ultraman characters here better than I liked them in the Ultraman book, to be perfectly honest. I thought it was a more concise explanation of their characters than we've received over there. I really enjoyed the dialogue. I mean, the book is really chatty.
It is very chatty, but I think the conversation
works. I thought it was all warranted. I reflected after I read it. I was like, wow, that was a really chatty sort of book. And as I was kind of going back and reviewing, I'm like, but there's no fat on the bone here. The conversation all made sense. And
it's very Bendis-y in that way.
Yeah. And a lot of times when you have these crossovers, you get kind of generic versions of the characters.
Exactly.
Where that wasn't the case here. You really got like character growth and development from the Ultraman characters.
And there wasn't any cheese hiding here, right? You got to see the Avengers be the Avengers, and you got to see Ultraman be Ultraman. There was
the first issue, which is, usually you don't see that until the last page, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought this, and I mean, you even get to see Galactus in this issue. And by the way, I thought the depiction of Galactus was great.
Yeah.
I everything felt right and just better orchestrated than you typically see in a property crossover like this. It's really kind of a return to form for Marvel in terms of doing crossovers like this. I think it's been a long time since they've done something this strong.
And I always like the meta storytelling of the characters poking fun at the tropes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I big thumbs up. I enjoyed this a lot.
You know, it kind of hit me like Justice League versus Avenger, or Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong, right? Like how well written that was in the first issue. I mean, it was good up until the end, really. I appreciate that we have good writers and good art on these books, and they're not just throwaway, you know, side stories to advertise things. Like this was well done. And with, you know, genuine emotion and knowledge of the characters and the continuity. So I really did appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm definitely on board. The only issue I have, because we always have to have an issue, is that they had to explain to Spider-Man what kaiju was. And I'm like,
yeah, I felt like Miles Morales would know what a kaiju is.
Yeah, like you have fought giant monsters before. You know what a kaiju is. But I get that was for the readers, but readers know what kaiju is too.
Those movies exist in the Marvel Universe. That's what bothered me about it. He would have watched a Godzilla movie, right? Mm-hmm. He would have watched, you know, any number of kaiju movies. He would have watched Pacific Rim. So why wouldn't he have known it from that?
Yeah.
So that's what
bugged Kyle Higgins.
Yeah. Another X-Men number 2 came out this week, and I was hard out after X-Men number 1, but Wayne...
I thought you liked X-Men. I thought you disliked Uncanny. I thought you liked the Jed McKay
actually,
run
no,
instead
I,
with X-Men.
I read Uncanny. I did not read X-Men number one, so sorry. Thank you for the clarification there. That's the problem with these titles.
You were hard out before even reading it.
That's right. That's right. So tell me about X-Men number two. Convince me, guys. Convince me that I need to read this book.
Yeah. Oh, so I went into this one on the fence because I think Paul liked the first issue way more than me.
I was the one who did. I thought I was the one who liked the first issue the least of everybody.
Okay.
Maybe Andrew's the one who liked it.
Yeah, because I remember going in and reading issue one and thinking, this feels really disconnected. I like all of the, like the Beast and Tour stuff, but I hated the action scenes and all. Mm-hmm. And so I go into this issue, and honestly, I feel very similar. There's no like Beast and things back in the back at their base or any of that. This one is all mission, and I just feel really disconnected.
This book feels very empty to me, and I think that's, you know, after reading both issues, I feel like these feel very empty. They are both issue long fight scenes or action scenes with a couple of side character moments, but
I'm
ultimately
just not
they're just chaotic.
Yeah, I'm not connecting to the characters in these at all. I also really hate the design for Juggernaut. I know it's not new here, but I don't like the weird like X over the helmet that I don't understand how that even is done. But yeah, I just am not connecting with the characters at all. And it feels like this is going to be a not necessarily Black Ops book, but they're once again going to be doing things and lying to the public all the time, and I'm not really on board for that.
Yeah, I think I'm out on X-Men. Wayne, did you read Uncanny last week?
I did not get to it.
Okay. I liked Uncanny. I feel like I know Aaron hated it, but I feel like Uncanny had someone who was interested in delving into the characters. This just kind of feels, and it's hard to say because I really like Jed McKay. This just feels like Jed McKay just writing action sequences.
I picked up X Factor, but I haven't had a chance to read that either.
Yeah, I haven't read that one. I you'll have to let me know on that one. But I think I'm out on X-Men, which
this
is
one. Honestly, it felt like it tried too hard with the action sequences too. Yeah. Like they wanted Cyclops to be funny and cool, and that's not really who Cyclops has been in the last decade.
Yeah, I'm sad. I'm sad about this relaunch of X-Men. Really not hitting with me because, you know, every few years they have a relaunch of X-Men books and I'm like, yes, I can finally cut back in on X-Men. They're going to cut down from 30 titles to just a few. And then like a few weeks later, they're like, surprise, there's going to be another 12 titles. Then we announced three, but there's going to be 12 more. And they're like, okay, well, I'll only read the first, the big ones. And they instantly lose me almost every time, and I'm bummed about that.
Yeah, I'm not getting issue three. I'm done with this one.
So you guys didn't sell me on.
Yeah, no, I think we're telling you not to buy it.
Yeah, we're telling you are wiser than us.
Yeah.
So Paul, I did not read Batman and Robin number 12. In fact, I don't think I've read anything in this current series of Batman.
I think you started it with me because it was the Man Bat story.
Yeah, I think I read that. I think I read like the first issue or two, but nothing since then. But you sent some pictures this week of like, you know, Damian riding a Velociraptor or something. So
yeah,
talk to us about Batman and Robin. Sell me on this book if you can.
So I think this one's more up your alley because Batman and Robin, you know, it's written by is currently written by Joshua Williamson, who you know, he's kind of DC's go-to guy. You know, lately he's written quite a number of books for them. He wrote that Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths, but he's also writing Superman right now, which we're enjoying. You know, like he's done a lot for DC lately. But you know, I picked up. I was a few issues behind on Batman and Robin. I think I read the first 10 issues, which were all about Man-Bat, which honestly was good. I think the issues I had with it were more art based than story based. But I was like, okay, well, issue 10 ends with the cliffhanger that, you know, Bane was supposedly dead, you know, comic book dead. But they have found that Bane is alive, shocker, and living on Dinosaur Island. And so for issues 11 and 12, which are the two latest issues, Batman and Robin, trek to Dinosaur Island to find Bane. And, you know, the big deal about that is the last time, you know, the time we saw before Bane was supposedly killed by the Joker, the time we saw him before that was when he murdered Alfred right in front of Damian Wayne's eyes. Mm. He snapped his neck as Damian Wayne was tied to a chair and watched. And so this book is very much about Damian's, you know, anger and, you know, lust for vengeance against Bane. In addition to being a giant romp with dinosaurs, the book starts with Bane in a fight with the T-Rex where he rips off the T-Rex's jaw in the fight. It's all very, there are aspects of it that are very serious. And, you know, there's, in fact, in the latest issue, there's a lot of flashbacks to what Alfred meant to Damian and the conversations they had over the years. And, you know, but on top of that, in between that, you also have giant dinosaur action and Damian Wayne riding a velociraptor into battle, you know, yielding a katana. I genuinely have loved these last two issues of Batman and Robin. And I don't think you need to read the first 10 to enjoy it. As long as you know, and everyone does, Bane killed Alfred, Robin's angry about it, and, you know, there's an island with dinosaurs that they're tracking him to. That's all you really need to know to enjoy these two issues. There will be a third one of the arc. The second, you know, issue 12 ends in a cliffhanger that I won't ruin here for anyone who wants to read the book. But these books are a lot of fun. A lot of fun while also, you know, calling back to, you know, some of the stuff we've loved about Batman in recent years, you know, the human aspect and, you know, the growth of Damian Wayne as a character and the softening of his character by, you know, being part of that family. I highly recommend Batman and Robin issues 11 and 12.
Hmm. Okay, well, you did a little bit better of a job here, Paul.
Yeah, well, this is one that I actually recommend. The other one, not so much. Okay. You know, but what was interesting is, you know, I read both of these books and, you know, kind of this human side of Damian in the same week that I read DC versus Vampires World War V, which is a sequel to the original DC versus Vampires and features a very different side of Damian Wayne.
The less humane human side of Damian Wayne.
Yeah. I mean, this book genuinely had some surprises for me, I will say. And, you know, especially with Damian Wayne. So what did you guys think? I remember we all read DC versus Vampires, the original. I think we all were a little lukewarm on how it ended.
Yeah, I think we enjoyed it all the way up to the end.
Yeah,
I don't think we knew there was a sequel, right?
Yeah, other than the ending, the original really struck and surprised us all.
Yeah, I think the ending was just like, that's it. It didn't really have an ending. Well, now we know why, because there's another series. And I think this is a 10-issue series, an 8-issue series, something like that.
Yeah, I like the opening segment of the book where Damian Wayne is disrupting, the supplies running into Gotham City and his team of vampire ninjas, because, you know, Damian also is a vampire.
Vampire ninjas.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. And I loved how all the people who get freed out of the back of the truck, thank you for saving us. Mm. Not so much saving you.
It's taking it for ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I dug it. And, you know, it's really an interesting juxtaposition in terms of timing and storytelling, because you've got Oliver Queen, who's sort of the conscience of the human side of things, and versus where he is in the current absolute power storyline, where he, you know, apparently has betrayed the Justice League. I find it interesting that he is at the center of both of these big stories right now.
Well, and Aaron, what did you think about Ape Vampire?
I enjoyed Ape Vampire. I enjoyed Grodd as a vampire. I very much enjoyed Barbara Gordon, the Batgirl vampire queen. And then how I was so stunned, though, on how her story resolved in this issue. I love these books, these sort of, you know, alternate Earth books, these Elseworlds books, if you will, where anybody can die. Anything can happen because, you know, you're not always in Act Two. I very much appreciate that, you know, you just never know who's going to get who's going to get eaten by, you know, Elongated Man.
Well,
you know,
you do know that Kyle's going to die because he dies in every alternate storyline.
That's right.
That one is a little painful to read yet again. Kyle getting slaughtered.
You just have to revisit it every time you see Kyle in an Elseworlds book. He's going to die.
Yep.
He's Kenny.
Yeah, I did enjoy
you killed Kyle.
I enjoyed that scene, though. I did enjoy seeing them come back to the world a year later. I really enjoyed the character moments between, you know, Oliver Queen and Black Canary.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't catch me like the first one did. Yeah. Like, I'm enjoying the character moments, but the first series was just a must read, and I've got to read these as soon as they come out. And I didn't feel that level of excitement for this one.
Yeah.
I think this was probably my second book that I read this week. It was still high up on my list, but, you know, the stink of the ending from the last one was still on it. And so I didn't run to it like I have previously. But I tell you, I very much enjoyed this book. I enjoyed, you know, being surprised. I dug it quite a bit. And I got to say, I really like badass Lois Lane. You know, for no reason other than the fact that it's just attitude, you know, because she doesn't have special fighting or superpowers, but Lois is just so confident in who she is and where she stands. I enjoy the badassness that she presents in this book.
To your point, Wayne, there's something about it that, and I'm wondering if maybe I'm just a little tired after years of reading similar stories like Injustice and Deceased and DC versus Vampires of a DC universe, like, you know, a post-apocalyptic DC universe. But I think the book is well written and has enough surprises that I certainly will continue with it.
Yeah, I want it to keep doing those strong character moments. If it keeps doing the strong character moments, I'm on board.
Yeah, if it peters out. Yeah, then, but it started strong.
Agreed. I'm glad you brought up Injustice. What the hell? I don't understand why we were going big guns on Injustice for a while, and it feels like it's been forever. It's been since the Jonathan Kent storyline that we've really had anything in the Injustice space.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think Tom Taylor wrapped it up, and they just don't necessarily have a reason to revisit it just yet.
I'm ready for them to cap it off, right?
Yeah.
I feel like there needs to be an ultimate resolution there, or to use a DC phrase, an absolute resolution. But I feel like there's, you know, still dangling threads there that they need to resolve. And
I don't disagree.
And, you know, I think that what's happened is that DC, because Tom Taylor is such a huge writer for them, they're going to leave that to him. Unless he leaves the organization, right? And then I think they're sort of at the whim of Tom Taylor and what he's interested in doing. But boy, I really wish they'd wrap that up, because I like Injustice, and I really wish that they would come out with a complete collection that has a consistent numbering to it. Because once it starts getting into some of the other titles, I can't figure out what I've read and what I've not read.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
I find it
a little confusing at some point.
Yeah, I find all of that confusing. And I, you know, because I started from when it was a weekly digital comic. And it's just really hard to know what you own and what you don't.
Remember weekly digital comics, guys? Remember when that was a thing?
Yeah. I was looking at a Marvel collection earlier this week on Comixology, and it's like includes the Marvel Infinite Comics, and I'm like, wow, that's a flash from the past,
right? You know, before we wrap up, Aaron, you had mentioned Absolute Power, and we haven't just briefly we haven't really talked about how coming out of Absolute Power, you know, we talked about DC All In and DC Absolute, you know, in those books, but we didn't talk about something that wasn't announced day one, is that Mark Waid is going to be writing a new Justice League Unlimited book with Dan Mora on art coming out. He's also going to be writing Action Comics, which is also cool, but you know, Mark Waid and Dan Moore, I mean, the team behind Absolute Power doing a Justice League book. I'm pretty psyched about that.
Same. I think they're a great duo. Dan Mora's artwork is just breathtaking. And Mark Waid is always on the spot with terrific books and stories. So I'm excited about all of that.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing what comes after all this.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
What's coming out next week?
Well, speaking of Tom Taylor, Nightwing issue 117, which is the penultimate chapter of Falling Grayson, comes out next week from DC Comics. We also get a couple of Absolute Power tie-ins in Wonder Woman and Superman. From Image Comics, we have the third issue of Destro, which is leading up to the big G.I. Joe launch later this year, written by Joshua Williamson, who we were just talking about. From Marvel Comics, we have the latest issue of Ultimate Spider-Man by Jonathan Hickman. And also from Jonathan Hickman, we have Wolverine Revenge, issue 1 of 5, which is a mini-series written by Jonathan Hickman with art by Greg Capullo that will be, I believe, also featuring Red Band editions in the same way that the Blood Hunt books did.
You know what we're not getting next week that I wish we were? The Amalgam books that were coming out were originally listed as December. August. Yeah, I was really disappointed because I'd been looking forward to it because my birthday is coming up and I'm like, I'm going to read the Amalgam books for my birthday. But no, they didn't come out this month.
Yeah, not sure why, but they got delayed till December, which is annoying.
December, I hadn't seen that. You know, I did get a note from Amazon because I'm on pre-order, and I guess I didn't pay attention to the date, but it was telling me that the release date had gotten pushed back.
Yeah, on Amazon right now, the release date is October 8th.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, okay, October 8th. So I guess we'll see. Also from Marvel Comics, we get the second issue of Namor from Jason Aaron. We really enjoyed the first issue. And the first issue of Predator versus Black Panther, which I'll be picking up the first issue of that. Hopefully
Who's on art for that?
Let's see. It says Chris Allen. I'm not familiar with Chris Allen, but the cover sure is pretty. And I really liked I like that. I think we've got coming soon is Aliens versus Avengers. That's coming up soon. So.
Oh, yeah. I will be on board for that because when I think comic books and versus Aliens, I think Superman Aliens as much. I loved that book. It's a good and book. The recent Predator one I read was the Wolverine versus Predator was so good.
You know, I never actually finished that book. I guess I need to revisit. It is the same it looks like it's a similar creative team to Wolverine versus Predator versus Wolverine.
Yeah, so even though I've never actually seen a Predator movie, I'm on board to give Black Panther Predator a shot.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Right.
We'll definitely talk about that.
Predator movie. That's crazy.
You got to change that one. You got to at least see the first one.
I've still never seen an Alien movie either.
Oh my God. Gosh. Well, you got to change that, Wayne.
Yeah.
and the last book, Dick Tracy #4 from Mad Cave Comics. And before we actually move away, I do want to say something about Mad Cave Comics. They posted on their Instagram this week that Defenders of the Earth #1 was out now in comic book stores. But not digitally. But I went to their website and they have the deal there where for $20 you get all 4 or 5 issues. I don't remember what it is, and the trade paperback. So you get the issues digitally and the trade paperback. They said it would take 1 to 3 days for my digital issue to come in. So I'm waiting for that because I'm really excited about that book. I don't know when it's going to be released on Comixology, but
that's a Dan DiDio book, isn't it?
Yeah, Dan DiDio and Jim Calafiore.
Yeah. Should be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm eager to read that.
As am I. Yep. Well, that's everything. That's everything, guys. So much next week.
So much next week. Well, hey, we want to know what you thought about this week's books. Are you on Team Ultraman or are you on Team Avengers? Let us know. Give us a shout at ideologyofmadness@gmail.com. And if we use your comments on the show, you could win a coveted, valuable Ideology of Madness surprise.
You can also hit us up on social media, IOM Geek, on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
All right. Well, guys, it was good catching up with you. Thanks, Wayne, for, breathing new life into this marriage that Paul and I share.
it helps to bring a third in. Catch you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Podcast theme music graciously provided by Mark Andrew Pope. For more information, visit markandrewpope.com. Funny Books with Aaron and Polly is a production of ideologyofmadness.com. No Spider-Man clones were harmed in the production of this podcast.